We have our hearts to give, we have our thoughts to receive, and we believe that sharing is an answer. Though we have always been a worldly faith, concerned with the issues of our day, in the 23 years since I became a minister, we have become more deliberate about our hearts and our thoughts and our sharing. Urgent, more careful, more honest, more unsure, more reactive, and more responsive. We are hearing ourselves called, lay people as well as ministers, to working with and in support of Black and brown people within and beyond our congregations to reduce and end their jeopardy and persecution in this nation. We are working to advocate for and shelter undocumented immigrants and their children and families, for the rights and safety of gay and trans people still facing persecution and brutalization, for the poor in need of security and shelter and hope, for children who deserve safety and education throughout our country. We name the profanity of guns in this era that insists on their sanctity, and we examine our own racism and grow our engagement into relationship and community with people of all cultures and heritages, and lead congregations of different and complicated individuals in that same examination and evolution, while trying to remind ourselves and our people and our nation that there is such a thing as truth, even when truths are disparate, and that there are facts that require our understanding and science that requires our respect and wonder that requires our reverence, all of which is not unrelated to the imperative that we need to ensure we don't turn this planet into a husk. We work for death with dignity so that when we come to the end of a livable life, we can end it with some sense of readiness and peace. Clergy are writing and preaching and speaking out and rallying and arrested. Arrested so often these days, it doesn't even make the news. It barely even reads a Facebook emoji. Responding to all this, we are struggling to find and maintain our compass as a faith, which is taking our ministries and this congregation to new levels of inspiration and challenge. Tandeyeka, the theologian and minister who just spent a week and a half talking with us about the yearnings and opportunities that this congregation holds, has a picture displayed in her home. A photograph taken in Ukraine of Orthodox priests standing between Ukrainian special police and demonstrators opposing them. In the photo, there are three priests, one holding a tall cross, standing in the open, charged, dangerous space between the police and demonstrators. Standing there, they are witnesses and peacekeepers, holding the space in order to hold up humanity, to hold back death, to hold on to peace. And this is so like the American experience that UCC minister Tracy Blackman from Ferguson, Missouri has spoken about. Her story of how every night for months and months in the wake of the police killing of Michael Brown Jr., the demonstrators and police massed out on the streets, and the clergy were there also, on the streets, in the charged, dangerous space between the demonstrators and police, in t-shirts that proclaimed they were clergy, holding the space, using the power of their witness and presence and words to try to keep anyone else from being killed. Tandeyeka points out, talking about that photo in her house, that many clergy inhabit the most charged spaces these days, trying to use our witness and presence and words to hold up humanity and hold back death and hold on to peace for all people. And of course, ministers do not do our work alone. We do it most of all with the people we serve who are facing the same challenges and realities. What makes this possible? What makes it possible to hear that call and answer it and keep answering it even when it breaks our hearts? Even when our ministry takes us into charged, dangerous spaces, it's a question for all of us, because faithful living, especially now, requires engagement beyond what we already know. And the fact that this is necessary and often good for us does not make it easy. So it's not something to take for granted. We all know how hard it is to do things that are hard, how hard it is to be brave, how hard it is to endure. There are real risks and deep exposure in being Unitarian Universalist these days. Given that it is hard, I think harder than it used to be, to really engage as Unitarian Universalists, how do we stick the landing? How do we stay and grow and retain not just our honor, but our joy in this liberal, worldly, challenging faith? In the end, ministry, both the big M ministry that is the charge of the minister and the small M ministry that is the charge of all of us, Unitarian Universalists, because together only are we the fullest fruition of the faith that we share. These ministries are only possible when we embrace the coexistence of opposites. It so often comes down to that familiar chestnut of the beloved author E.B. White: I arise in the morning torn between a desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy the world. And this makes it difficult to plan my day. But in fact, the savoring and the saving are both essential. Because we only want to save what we savor, what we love. What we love and take joy in are those same goodnesses that must be available and possible, equally available and equally possible to everyone. The necessary freedoms to marry, to work, to live, to learn, to be out in the world in all our fullness without fear or retribution, to have a thriving world to be out in, to pursue what calls us to its study or engagement. We deeply feel their urgency and ultimacy and our own part in ensuring them. That daunting charge that the great Christian mystic Teresa of Avila expressed in her terms, she said, Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. We often talk about these opposing poles of the pastoral church and the prophetic church, about the church that takes care of people, healing and deepening and holding, versus the church that is calling, serving, urging people to how we need to be in the world. But of course, here too, it is both. And again, they make each other possible. We can only help the larger community grow and heal and be well served if we ourselves are growing and healing and well served. We can only hold if we ourselves are being held. Some of my thoughts this morning come from an exciting conversation I had with my good friend, the Reverend Vanessa Southern. And in that conversation, she told me that years before, the great minister, the Reverend A. Powell Davies, came to the All Souls Unitarian Church in Washington, D.C., where he worked with that congregation to take their long heritage of justice and racial integration and civil rights work to new levels. And this was in the 40s and 50s and 60s, not in the 60s, 70s. Including that they seeded a number of churches all around the D.C. Beltway, which still prosper. In fact, it's the largest constellation of large Unitarian Universalist congregations in the nation. Years before that powerful ministry, he served another congregation in Summit, New Jersey. And at the 100th anniversary of that Summit Church's founding, the congregation invited former ministers and formative leaders to celebrate and recount the church's story. Muriel Davies, who was Reverend Davies' widow, came to that event. And while she was talking about her late husband and his ministry, she said something very surprising. She said that though her husband was known for his prophetic sermons, it was his pastoral sermons that he liked the best and that he preached the most. The prophetic sermons were far fewer, she said, which is surprising, given how much of his legacy is this tremendous, incredible justice mission that he did. Or maybe it isn't surprising. Maybe, like saving and savoring, making one another possible, maybe holding people so often and so well fortified them and his relationship with them for the hard, demanding work of justice, again, the one making the other possible. So lately, I find myself thinking about all these apparent sets of seeming polar opposites that aren't actually opposites, that are actually deeply related pieces of a whole. The rock and the wave. Sometimes in ministry, we have to be the rock. Place ourselves to hold. We shall not be moved. We pull our own Gandalf. You shall not pass. To hold against a hurricane of events or devastation. And other times we have to be a wave, responsive to the tide, part of the tide, rolling, moving, surging, taking our place within a surge and helping our people, all of us, find their places too, surging again and again as we answer the call of the times and the urgencies that come into our lives and that we meet or temper with the power of community. But again, that's too simple. Because while the rock and the wave are real and again intertwined, right? The wave slowly wearing at the rock and the rock always interrupting the wave. Look at the covers of your order of service. While they make also for a cool sermon title, there is a third aspect, and darn it, I can't even find a stirring term for it. I think I have to call it the pillow, which is not cool at all, but essential nonetheless. Because really, it's about providing a soft place to land, where people can come and find the support that they need, that they have to have to live in this world that is full of rocks and waves. And the pillow, while less sexy as a metaphor, matters a lot, as much as the other two, especially now, when our society feels so abraded and abrasive, when we come here from days and work and struggle and news that can feel excoriating and unrelenting. And part of why we're here is that all of us have felt compelled by some vision of who we can be at our best and what can come from all of us doing that together. We just sang it. We just sang it. We seek elusive answers to the questions of this life. We seek to put an end to all the waste of human strife. We search for truth, equality, and blessed peace of mind. And then we come together here to make sense of what we find. We are not just participants in that vision. We are keepers of that vision. We are custodians of that vision of who and what we can be. And there is this other piece of that, how often we are destined to fall short. How often we are destined to fall short. Because holding up ideals is both essential and fraught. If risks are real, then we are guaranteed to fail plenty of times, maybe even more than we succeed. This means that to be a community or a leader, we have to hold as a central piece of our faith expecting mistakes. Mistakes that will require forgiveness, mercy, reconciliation. The place of mercy in our faith has to be real. And it's an actual debate right now in the larger UU world about whether we're responsible to mercy. Because it's so easy. It's so seductive and so satisfying to go high on judgment and low on mercy, high on attack and low on kindness. Unitarian Universalism is at a crucial juncture within the life of our country, with an ironic juxtaposition of national issues that evoke deep emotional responses in us all. On the one hand, so much that was hard won is now in jeopardy or actively being dismantled. Civil rights, voting rights, marriage equality, environmental protections, pollution regulation, endangered species, birth control, a woman's right to choose, more than I can possibly name here, crucial gains even when they were incomplete. The ugliness and untruths and unmaking that surround us is enough to make us crazy, so it's no wonder we feel abraded and appalled and aggrieved. It's no wonder we're loaded for bear. On the other hand, we are in this time of revelation, confronting painful realities about how incomplete our gains were, how much we still hadn't even recognized about racism and sexism and transphobia and anti-Semitism, myriad challenges and flaws in our own religious institutions, in our own psyches. We're amazed. We're excited. We're demoralized. We're outraged. If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention, right? And we see religiously oriented outrage fueled also in larger moments of revelation and change across our nation. The issue isn't the outrage, it's how we handle what I would say is our legitimate outrage. How do we handle our legitimate outrage? The great African-American essayist and philosopher James Baldwin warned against the seduction of taking comfort in rage and misery. In his great essay, "Every Goodbye Ain't Gone." Because we could just settle for comfort in rage and misery. Some people do. But where would that lead us? There is no way to take our place in charged and dangerous spaces unless we can offer each other more. Unless we can live into the wisdom of religious leaders like the Reverend Dr. Jackie Lewis, who calls us to community wherein we don't let our particularities allow us to diminish each other, any of us. Or Mama Ruby Sales, who says, "Can we be human and not use our particularities to eviscerate another? Or each other?" Or Tandeka, who suggests that love beyond belief, where our community is not defined by any particular theology, but by our lived experience that tells us connection with each other and opportunities to inhabit spirituality and sacredness together, will keep us strong in these times that try our strength so enormously. And we just sang that too. And we believe in life and in the strength of love, and we have found a need to be together. This is the challenge that we have to meet now, because our ideals will always outstrip our wisdom and our practical knowledge and our experience of how to live into those ideals. We have to know that sometimes we will fail. Sometimes we will all fail we will break our vows 1,000 times. As the mystical Sufi poet Rumi once wrote, and this is most true in times of great intensity and change like now, our religion will not thrive, we may not even survive, if we do not take care of each other in the midst of our growing and our learning. So, how do we invite each other to join again and again in this adaptive, creative, hard, and unclear work of seeking, marching, stumbling toward our ideals, of holding ourselves and each other accountable not just for authenticity or integrity or justice or change, but also respect and compassion and mercy and forgiveness? Being called to serve in community means we are responsible to each other, not just responsible to our own understanding and perceptions, but to each other's understandings and perceptions. This is what makes faith community and larger religious life so complex and rich and powerful. And it's only possible when we are answerable for care and respect with each other. It can't be a one-way street. Care and respect are not owed from some to others. They are owed both ways, all the time, across all relationships in a faith community. That is true in any religion, but it is certainly true for us Unitarian Universalists, because care and respect are indivisible from our first principle of respect for the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. The whole point of congregationally based faith, after all, is to journey together. Otherwise, we lose this vital part of the ideal, which is each other on the way. In this month, when our theme is unity and diversity, the interrelationship of one and many, of a part to the whole, we have to remember the commandments of the heart that ground our faith in a ministry we all share and are all responsible for. We are here because we believe in congregational religion and Unitarian Universalism. We believe in it so much that we share our families, our lives, our treasure, and our hearts with it. We depend on our leaders and also eventually ourselves to go into charged, dangerous, peacekeeping, life-saving, soul-honoring space that moves not in some elusive and false sense of a linear perfection, but a perfection that lies in moving between the many poles of faithful living, the saving some days, the savoring on others, the prophetic and the pastoral, the wave and the rock, and yes, the pillow, embracing all. None of it is more valuable than the other. And none of it is expendable. They have to go together, like water and sun and earth to a plant. Visions of the ideal have drawn us all into this faith and will pull us like a north star through the life of congregational religion. But let us remember that this paradigm for the success of crazy, beautiful, beloved community sets us up also inevitably for encounters with failure and error and disappointment that will be hard to hold. I know your hearts are big enough to hold it, to engage risk, to acknowledge and learn and heal from mistakes and even failures. Your commitment, your insight, your courage, your hearts are beautiful and gifts to this faith and to this congregation that we share. So may we keep our hearts big and practiced in forgiveness and mercy, with arms ready to help the stumblers, who are all of us, help us stay and grow together, holding one another as we seek the path that will bring us forward to that beloved place of our dreams that is only made real by how we go there together. Amen. Amen, little voice of the future.